How wonderful it is.
How wonderful it is.
Brahma Vidam.
Brahma Vidam.
Of persons who have full knowledge of Brahman.
Of persons who have full knowledge of Brahman.
Transcendence.
Transcendence.
Vajaha.
Vajaha.
The words.
The words.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Asatyaha.
Asatyaha.
Untruth.
Untrue.
Santi.
Santi.
Become.
Become.
Karichit.
Karichit.
At any time.
At any time.
Garga.
Garga.
Garga Muni.
Garga Muni.
Yat.
Yat.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Aha.
Aha.
Predicted.
Predicted.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
Garga Muni.
Garga Muni.
The most powerful.
The most powerful.
Anvabhavi.
Anvabhavi.
Is exactly happening.
Is exactly happening.
Tata eva.
Tata eva.
As.
As.
Tat.
Tat.
That.
That.
Translation. The words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Garga Muni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. Purport. The purpose of human life is indicated in the Brahma Sutra. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. To make one's life perfect in the past, present and future, one must learn about Brahman. Because of intense affection, Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna as he is. Garga Muni was able to know everything, past, present and future, by studying the Vedas. But Nanda Maharaj could not understand Krishna directly. Because of his intense love for Krishna, he forgot who Krishna was and could not understand Krishna's potency. Although Krishna is Narayan himself, Garga Muni did not disclose this. Thus Nanda Maharaj appreciated the words of Garga Muni, but because of his deep affection he could not understand who Krishna was. Although Garga Muni had said that Krishna's qualities would be exactly like those of Narayan. Om Agyanati Mirandasi Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Mina Tasmai Shri Guravi Namaha Mukham Karuti Vajalam Pangung Langaya Tigirim Yat Kripata Mangvande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapidam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabarantikam Chai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garada Shri Vasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Aho Brahma Vidang Vajo Nasatya Santi Karichit Gargoyat Aha Bhagavan Anva Bhavita Taivatat. And the words of persons in full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Garga Muni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. Okay, any questions? Everything clear? Who is Garga Muni? What is Brahman? What are the Brahma Sutras? I think there are many words which are not clear, so we can talk on this. In general, if we listen to things which are not clear, we should be wondering, what is it? So anyways, I will help you on this part in this way. The Vedas, all in all these topics what are described here, are very complicated actually. It's very difficult. So it's necessary that we think about it and discuss it and listen to the ones who know, so then we can get knowledge. As Prabhupada quotes here in the first sentence of the purport, that the purpose of human life is indicated in Brahma Sutra, Atato Brahma Jigyasa, to make one's life perfect. So Atato, at first, we start here. Prabhupada mentions the Brahma Sutra. This is a very deep Vedic text, Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra. Sutra means like an aphorism. A very short sentence, so to say, like a formula. Right? If you have a formula, it's if you don't have a purport to it, explanation, you will not understand. Like E equals M times C to the power of 2. Right? Very famous formula. So if you don't know what all these little letters mean and what all these signs mean, you think, what is it? No? So you need an explanation for it, for a formula. So in the same way, sutra means a very short sentence, like Atato Brahma Jigyasa. It's just three words. And this Vedanta Sutra, it It zusammenfassen, what's the English word? To zusammenfassen. To
take together.
Yeah, no, it's you know, it's it collects all the purports of the Vedic scriptures. Veda means knowledge. So knowledge is very vast. There's a lot to know. There's a lot of knowledge out there. So there are many texts to write about so many things. So the Vedanta Sutra, in order to give like everything in very condensed form, it puts formulas of very short sentences with very deep meaning, and you can talk a lot about it. So, and the first sutra, first sentence of this Brahma Sutra, it's called Tato Brahma Jigyasa. And this is translated as, now it's time to inquire into the Absolute. Now it's time to inquire into the Absolute. Now, as we are human beings, and we have the chance of asking very relevant questions. We can ask many stupid questions also, but it's about relevant questions. And what is the most relevant question? What is Brahman? And Brahman is like the Vedic term for Absolute or God. God itself is a very undefined word. You can have so many interpretations of the word of or the concept of God. So Brahman comes close to this. What is God? To understand. What is the Absolute? What is God? And this is the purpose of human life. To inquire. To ask questions. And questions we can only ask if we think. When we think, then naturally we will start questioning and wondering and want to know more. And to put this philosophical point, into a more historical context, we can see here a situation where the gopas were wondering. We are here now in a scene. Actually, this verse we were reading right now, it was a thought. When we were carefully reading the verses before, it said the gopas were thinking. This is what the gopas were thinking. They were thinking, this is what we read today. The words of persons of full knowledge of Brahman never become untrue. It is very wonderful that whatever Gargamuni predicted, we are now actually experiencing in all detail. So what does it mean? Okay, what was happening? It was happening that Krishna and his friends were in the forest, and they were herding the cows, and the cows became thirsty, and they went to some water and let the cows drink the water. The cows were drinking, and then the gopas were also drinking, and suddenly they saw very close by, it said, and big animal. It's called the baka. The baka. And the baka means something like, Prabhupada translates sometimes as duck. And you might not think, oh, this is really terrible. But if the duck is like 5 meters tall and quite aggressive, you know, ducks can be quite aggressive, then you might be a little afraid. And so the gopas were quite afraid. Suddenly this huge, aggressive duck, or maybe it's like a stork or something, some animal of this kind, water, a fowl, no? Fowl you say, no? Some water animal, which are normally peaceful, but this one not. Because it was not really a baka, it was actually a demon. And he took on the form of a baka. So it was a demon who thought, I will attack Krishna, I want to kill him. Which form is suitable? Probably a duck. Most suitable, a duck. Okay, I do it. So he appeared on the scene, and the boys were, of course, quite shocked. I would be shocked too. So they were all like, ah, what's this? And it said immediately, baka attacked Krishna and swallowed Krishna. And it was not chewing him or something, just with his beak, taking and just swallowing. And the coward boys were, no! And it even said Balaram was also, no! And why? How can Balaram be confused? You know, he's absolute also, because of his intense attachment to Krishna. Balaram is Krishna in his servant form. All the expansions of Krishna, who are Krishna himself, see themselves as servants of Krishna. Very interesting. So Balaram is Krishna's brother, dear friend, and servant. And he was also shocked in this moment. because Krishna's yoga maya is bewildering, and in the illusion we cannot understand things as they are. It's a complicated point, but the things are, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and there's nothing to fear. But because of yoga maya, devotees don't think of Krishna as the Lord, but they think they have a very emotional relationship with him. So also Balaram has a very emotional relationship and was shocked. Oh no, Krishna is gone, you know. He swallowed Krishna. And it's not like for us now ecstatic. Why is it ecstatic for us? Because we know Krishna is supreme and there's no problem. But in yoga maya, in deep yoga maya, you don't think like this. You think, no, it's terrible. And this is more ecstatic even, actually. Even this is more ecstatic. Like this anxiety for Krishna, or this this worries about Krishna are very, very ecstatic, it says. Because if not, Mother Yashoda would be suffering terribly all the time. Because she's always anxious, what is Krishna doing, and where is he, and what is he? And he's very naughty always. She has to always be angry with him and punish him. And if this would be material, this would be horrible. Imagine a child like Krishna is your child, but it's not Krishna. It would be horrible. He does all naughty things the whole day. But because it's Krishna, it's very ecstatic. So Balaram and all them were, of course, shocked. This big monster was swallowing Krishna. And then it said Krishna used his power. Which one was it? He became very hot. He became really hot. It said more hot than fire. And so Bhaka was hot and immediately spit him out. And Krishna was coming out, jumping out. And also in Bhagavad Gita it says this, Aham Agnir, Aham Hutam. Aham Agni means I am fire. And then one other point he says, Te chasmi vibhaso. I am the heat in the fire. So Krishna is very, can become very intense. So Krishna jumped out, and immediately the coward boys were, Krishna is back. You know, it's really very, they were absorbed. They were really in this lila. And Krishna immediately killed the demon. What was he doing? With both hands, he was taking the beak, and just ripping him apart. Mercifully killing the demon. And so everyone was, Haribol, Haribol. And what happened also? The demigods were pleased too. Because very often these demons Krishna kills, they were not just troublesome for some boys, they were even troublesome for the demigods. Very often they were very powerful demons, because as we know, 5,000 years back when Krishna appeared, it was a showdown on earth. Between a fight between the demons and the demigods. Usually, demons live on higher planetary systems, in higher planetary systems, on different planets, and the demigods, of course, also. We know they live in Svarga or higher, and they fight eternal battles. Or let's say they have eternal rivalry over the rule of the universe. Who will rule the universe? And the natural order is, of course, that the demigods rule the universe, because they are put by Krishna, by Vishnu, in a position of controlling the powers of the universe, like air and fire and rain and all this. And the demons are all for power, right? The demons always want power. And they want to rule the universe. And so it's always happening that some demon becomes very powerful and tries to take the rule of the universe, especially from Indra. Because Indra is the king of the demigods. He's the king of heaven. And he has the supreme position. And so the demons always want to conquer Indra and sit on the throne. And this is interesting because this is an ancient idea. And it comes out in so many stories nowadays, in science fiction stories or in other legends, it's always the fight between the good and the bad. So we have it also in the Puranas explained like this. So, and these demons, Samanas are so powerful that they are also troublesome for the demigods. And they have these battles always going on. And 5,000 years back, somehow or other, they took a different battlefield for their fight, to again fight for the rule, and it was the earth. So, and they were not only just coming with their starships or something, invading planet Earth, the aliens or something, but they were incarnating themselves into families on this planet. So they took birth in families. And some really came from outer space. It's not described how Rakshasi Putana appeared or was born. She kind of appeared from sky, actually. So some really flew into it. Some got born, like Kamsa. And on the other side, the demigods, they took birth in devotee families, especially on the side of the Rishnis, Andakas, and Bojas, these dynasties. Because Vishnu ordered it and told it to Brahma, tell all the demigods I will appear. Because Mother Earth was very troubled by the overburden of the demons, so she asked, please help me. And said, okay, no problem, the demons are already there, so now we come also. The demigods will also come and we will fight and end this story. So in this situation now, Baka, he was also a powerful demon, it was not just a big duck. He was actually a powerful demon. And the demigods were now very, very happy that he is gone. And what are demigods usually doing when Krishna is killing a demon, doing something wonderful? What are the demigods doing? Haribo, Pushpanjali. They throw flowers. They were suddenly, so Krishna killed the demon. The boys were happy, Krishna did it once again, and suddenly there were flower rain coming from the sky, and it said also certain flowers, they were there, it was Malika, or what was it? Let's mention Malika, yeah, Malika Pushpa. So Malika flowers, probably very nice flavoring flowers. And what are the demigods also doing? They are not just throwing the flowers, but also, in such situation, demigods doing? Yeah, they make some sounds, and especially, he said, kettle, drums, and conch shells, and offering prayers. So suddenly you heard kettle drums, some special drums, and conch shell, and the flower were falling, and the prayers you heard. So it was a very auspicious scene. So imagine you experience something like this. You're probably quite, delighted by such an experience. So now the cowherd boys were doing what? They brought together all the cows, and they were on their way home. And of course they were talking, have you seen this? This was amazing. Krishna killed the demon. Oh, I was so afraid. He was swallowed by this duck. But his paka, but suddenly he came out and you saw how he killed him. Yes, I saw it. And suddenly the flowers. So they were, imagine you have some intense experience. You're quite absorbed in it and processing it. You tell everyone whom you meet. It's natural. So the cowherd boys came home, and what were they doing? Immediately they were telling everyone in Vrindavan what was happening. Oh, Krishna did this. And everyone was, what? It's like amazing. And so the cowherd boys and the gopis, they were hearing all this, and they were amazed. My God, Krishna, what is he doing? And they were so amazed by this whole thing. Krishna was standing there in front of them. They couldn't say anything. They were just looking at Krishna and wondering. And then they were thinking. And this, so they were not speaking, because it said they were just happy that Krishna is back, that Krishna is so wonderful. And then they were thinking, and what are the things? This verse we read today, they were thinking, especially Nandamraj. So they all had this thought in mind. They were not speaking, they had this thought in mind. And what was the thought? This was the verse of today, where they say, it is very astonishing. Of course, they said, well, it's very astonishing that although this boy Krishna has many times faced many varied causes of death, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oops, this was the verse of yesterday, but this was also the thought. So this was, they were very astonished, of course. They were wondering, this boy, so often he was in such a precarious situation, and always he survived by the grace of the Lord. Because they don't see him as God, they see him as their dear friend, as their son, as their boyfriend, because they have these relationships. So in the verse of today, this is also one of their thoughts, that, and they were remembering Garga Muni. So now we come to Garga Muni. They were remembering, because Garga Muni, he is the priest of the Yadu dynasty. And Yadu dynasty, of course, Vasudev and Devaki belong to them. These are the, like the real, in one sense, real parents of Krishna. And he came to Vrindavan after Krishna was born, when he appeared. It was very small. And normally, what shall we do with children when they are born? What do you have to do with them? Huh? Yes, you have to give him a name. So the Naam Karana ceremony, Prabhupada calls it in German, so the Reinigungsvorgang. I don't know what it's in English, how it's called. Maybe purificatory process, he calls it. Huh? So why? Of course, children have to be cleaned after they are born, yes, but this is not meant. It's meant that the samskaras, the ceremonies, they are purifying entity. And there are many times in life where there has to be performed a samskara ceremony to purify, to uplift a person, to make him civilized. And without such samskaras, people are animals. So if you don't want to be an animal, do some samskara. One of the samskaras is called vivaha yagya. Prabhupada says if they are not married and they just live together like cats and dogs, this is not human civilization. So they have to be married. Or they have their children, they have to have a name, and they have to have second birth, meaning brahminical initiation. And all this, or garbhadana samskara, these are all ceremonies for the upliftment of an entity. So Garga Muni, this priest, comes to Vrindavan after Krishna is born, and immediately, of course, Nanda Maharaj is very happy because he can perform such an important ceremony, which are done by the priests. And he asked, oh, please, my dear Garga Muni, can you do this name-giving ceremony for my dear boy? And he said, yes, no problem, but because I am the priest of Vasudev and the Yadu dynasty, and I perform now this ceremony for Krishna, and Kamsa hears about this, he will think, oh, there he is. Because he will know that this son is from Vasudev and he's brought to Vrindavan, and I am the priest and I'm performing the ceremony, of course, only for members of the Yadu dynasty. So he will figure out, because he's not stupid, that this is the one, the child of Devaki and Vasudev. Then he said, okay, and Nandamar said, yes, this might be true and this danger is there, but it's so important to do it, so let's do it in secret. And it said even that he was not informing many people, it was done in secret, so the whole Vrindavan, not everyone knew about it. And they were performing in, I think, in a cow shed, you know, so a little bit in an unusual situation. Normally it's done in a very pompous, how to say, what is this word, and very, you know, very grand ceremony in a grand situation in a grand building or something, but it's done in the cow shed. And in this ceremony, Garga Muni gave Krishna and Balaram their names, and then also he spoke about their previous birth and their identity and the future. And I can't remember all the details, so I wrote it a little bit down for you to see what he said, because this is now what the Gopas remember, what he was saying. So there were a couple of points. The first one he mentioned, of course, the first he gave the name to Balaram, he spoke about this. Then he, then the next verse, then he said about Krishna, that this boy who is lying like this, innocent here, actually he appeared many times in the past, and especially in four different colors. He mentioned that Krishna had four different colors, in white, in red, in yellow, and now in this blackish color. And that means that Krishna appears as an avatar in every age and reveals the process for self-realization. Because every age of the four yugas has a certain process for self-realization. And in the other ages, it's not just chanting Hare Krishna and eating prasadam. There it's a little different, and this is revealed by this so-called Yuga avatar, who is, of course, Krishna. Avatar means Krishna, and so he has these certain colors. So immediately Garga Muni says, this is not a normal child. And the next verse, then he says that he came very often as the son of Vasudev. Interesting that he says this actually to Nanda Maharaj. And then he said also that he has many forms and many names. Who of you has many forms and many names? How many forms do you have?
One.
And how many names do you have? Also one name. So imagine someone who has many forms and many names. So this child was lying there and says, he had many forms, many names. And whoa, how is it? How can you have many forms? So it's already quite astonishing, and many names. And he is your friend now. Now imagine this person who has many forms, many names, who appeared very often in the past, he is your friend. And so Garga Muni says, so you don't have to worry anything. You are very blessed, you can be very happy, and you will solve all the problems. Sarva Durgani, he says, you will overcome all troubles. Durgani means problems. No, don't worry. He is your friend. And then he said, in the past, he was helping very often Indra. Always when Indra is in trouble, this little boy here, this baby, was helping Indra. He went, oh, really? Very special child. And what else? And everyone who has Krishna on his side, he will be always protected. So you're always protected when Krishna is on your side. And in the last, and he is as good as Narayan. And this is what Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that he was not telling Nanda Maharaj that he is Narayan. He cannot reveal this, he didn't want, but he said he is as good as Narayan. Narayan is, of course, a name of Vishnu, of the form of God, so to say. Vishnu, Narayan, is Krishna's form, where he is obviously God, but Krishna not. And not interrupt these feelings, these loving feelings of the gopas towards Krishna. He was saying he's like Narayan, but he's not that he is Narayan. Of course, he is Narayan. So these were the predictions and the words. And so the devotees in that situation, they remembered these words and they were wondering how amazing. So they were doubly amazed at first, of course, by the wonderful activities of Krishna, but then by the wonderful ability of some of devotees. They call him also Bhagavan, this Garga Muni, that how could he know all this, what we are experiencing now? We experience so many things which he predicted, which he knew. Oh, how amazing is Garga Muni. So this is what they remember now in this situation. So this is now the context of this verse, that this is what they were thinking, this is the story, how it came about. And the amazing thing in the whole thing is that these devotees don't know that Krishna is the Lord. They somehow guess sometimes, so it's something which is in their back of their mind. But the predominating feeling and attitude and understanding of Krishna is, this is my lover, my son, or my friend. This is so strong that the obvious fact which Krishna proves here time and time again, that he is actually the Supreme Lord, that he is Narayan, that this is less interesting. This is actually very amazing. That their rasa with Krishna is so much stronger and more interesting that it's not interesting for them that this is God. God right now standing in front of them, the one who controls the whole universe, the one who knows everything, the one who is in every atom, in everyone's heart, who is the beginningless beginning, the cause of all causes, the most powerful, Allah, Jehovah, Jah, it's him, Adonai, it's Krishna. This is, for them, yeah, might be okay, yes, but he is my boy. No? Mata Yashoda is so absorbed in her relationship with Krishna as such that his grand feature of being God is less interesting. So you can see the greatness of these personalities. It's a high, high realization what they have, much beyond everything what we can understand right now. So the conclusion, practical for us, let's become Krishna conscious. And the first step towards this relationship to Krishna is that we understand Krishna's divinity and become amazed by hearing about him. Right now we are in this unfortunate situation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the second verse in the Shikshashtakam that, what is the last line? Namna makari bahuda nicha sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamita smaranena kalaha etadrishitava kripa bhagavan mamapi dur devam idrisham nani nanuraga. What's this? What's the last line? Anyways, but he says, I'm so unfortunate that I have no attraction for chanting the holy name. This is very bad that we have no attraction for Krishna Katha. Well, only small. We should be eager like Parikshit Maharaj. You know, Parikshit Maharaj was listening 7 days with great attention. They had the Ohren gespitzt. He was very attentively hearing Krishna Katha. And he was very absorbed, and he was so absorbed that 7 days, no sleeping, no eating, no drinking, no problem. And this is what Prabhupada says later on also, in this chapter in the end, very, very nice. He says, actually the verse reads, tomorrow of course it's coming, but now it fits, I want to say this. In this way, all the cult men headed by Nanda Maharaj enjoyed topics about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great transcendental pleasure, and they could not even perceive material tribulations. They enjoyed talking about Krishna. Machita matgada prana buddhayanta parasparam katayantas chamang nityam tushanti charamanticha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you should be always absorbed in me. Your mind, your consciousness should be always absorbed in me. Your life air should be dedicated to me. Your whole life should be dedicated to me. You should enlighten each other in talking about me, and you should preach. You should tell it to others. Tell it and engage in discussion of me. Nityam, always. Dushanti charamanti cha. Then you will experience great satisfaction and bliss. So this is what, of course, the devotees are always engaged in, hearing and chanting about Krishna, Shravanam, Kirtanam. And we are so unfortunate that our attraction to this is very, very little. So how to solve this problem? And there are many ways, but one, you could pray to Lord Nrisingadev. You go to Nrisingadev, my dear Nrisingadev, I realized something now. I have no attraction for Krishna Katha. It's not enough. I want to have more attraction to Krishna Katha. I want to be eager in hearing about you. Because this makes me very happy, and it's very interesting, it's very ecstatic. But my attraction is so little, so please help me develop attraction. And the amazing thing is, Krishna helps. He does it. He does it, he helps. He gives inspiration. That suddenly you think, oh, let's read the Bhagavad. Just read, oh, what is happening here? And you read, and suddenly you like it more and more and more. And so in this way our life becomes perfect. As Prabhupada says here, this is what should be done, how to make the life perfect, if we understand the Supreme. Now it's time to inquire into the Absolute. Meaning ask questions, you think about it, you wonder, you want to find out more, and Krishna reveals knowledge to you. Because he's sitting in the heart and he wants to give knowledge how we can come to him. Tesham satata yuktanam vachatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayantite. He says, I will give you knowledge how you will understand, how you can come to me. Tadami means I give you this knowledge. So we should be very eager to become Krishna conscious. This is why we're here. In the beginning we have different reasons why we are here. Krishna says, Chatur Vidham Vachatemang, Chanasu Kriti Norjana, Artochi Gyasu Artati, Gyanicha Paratarshava. Four kinds of people surrender to me. The one who is in trouble, has many problems, with the family, he has maybe some debts or something, or he has suffering, or he's sick. Naturally, he surrenders to God if he's pious. If he is a demon, then he will even blame God more for his problems. But if he is pious, he will surrender. So and then the other one who has economic problems, he wants to have lots of money. Another one who is inquisitive, well, what's out there, this and that, he's inquisitive. And some who stumbles over Krishna and finds, oh, that's interesting. And the one who wants to know the absolute truth. These four kinds of people surrender unto Krishna. So every one of, and but these are not pure motivations. This is just a material motivation which is somehow connected to Krishna, but it helps. Krishna says it's all good. Udara sarva eva te gyanina eva mema tam. It's all good, it's auspicious, but a pure qualification is better. So we might have our qualifications why we are here. Oh, devotees are so nice. Oh, these are the nicest people on earth. I never saw more nice people than these devotees, so I want to stay here. Someone's like, oh, no, I'm here because the prasadam, this tastes so good. I said, oh, because I'm here because the air is so good. Oh, and this land, oh, and it's so nice to work on the fields, maybe not now. It's so nice to work in the snow, so I'm here, I like the snow. And another one, oh, I'm interested in this and that. But this should get, we should get rid of this more and more. And more, the reason why we're here should be because of Krishna. That we want to become Krishna conscious. That we want to have only one thing, it's called prema. Prema means love of God. So we can pray for this to Nrisingadev, and he will help according to our desire. This other thing, Krishna fulfills our desires. So we should be very careful what we want, because Krishna might fulfill this. So if we have the only desire in our heart of becoming Krishna conscious, Krishna will help very quickly. The more we want it, the quicker it comes. Krishna, I want taste for the holy name. Krishna, I want to be successful in my preaching. Like Kripa Sindhu. I hope he doesn't hear it now. It's embarrassing for him. But he is so eager for preaching that somehow Krishna arranges things for him. Books go out, people come, he meets people, he brings people. Why? Because he wants it. This is, you can see, Krishna rewards. So we should have pure desires. That's very nice. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Any questions in this regard? Yes, please.
I just want to ask that how this priest know all what he said in the name ceremony, where the information comes for this priest?
For what?
For the priest who gave the name ceremony for Krishna.
Where he has his information from?
Yeah.
Which information? This information, what we are right now, this point?
Yes.
Because he, as Prabhupada said, he is a Brahmana and he gets the knowledge from the Veda. And Veda is given by disciplic succession. And somehow or other, the Brahmana has a higher understanding, has a higher knowledge. And yeah, it's a good question. Where, how can Garga Muni know that Krishna is the Lord? And how, yeah.
So Krishna's pastimes were already written.
No, at that time, actually, in this time, the Veda, I don't know if the Veda was already compiled, but the knowledge was there. So it's not that he was studying, they were not studying scriptures. In a natural, or how to say, in a normal situation, there are no books. It's not normal to have books. Books are a sign for stupidity, because we cannot remember, we have to write down everything. Normally, knowledge is communicated only by sound vibration. By the sound vibration, it's communicated by sound vibration. And the people are so smart, they can store the sound vibration in their computer called brain. So, anyway, so he got, I don't know actually, how does Garga Muni know all this? A very good question. But one thing is for sure, because he is a great personality, and for these great personalities, for them it's obvious, they know it. Like Narada Muni. Narada Muni knows that Krishna is God, and because he knows it from Brahma, and he's a cosmic person, they know his appearance. Yeah, so he's connected to this. Yeah.
But was it not that more or less everybody in the Bhoja dynasty knew about, because of this?
Yeah.
Kamsa even knew that it's Vishnu who appears as a 8-child in Gauga Muni, you know.
Yeah, this is a good point. Actually, it's true that in the Yadu dynasty, Bhoja dynasty, all this, these were all the demigods, and they know that Krishna, that Vishnu appeared now. They know this, yeah. For them, it's obvious. Devaki and Vasudev, they know this. They have a different relationship to Krishna because they know that he is the Lord. So you can say there are three kinds of people. The ones who have no clue about anything and they think Krishna is a mature, normal person. Then there are people who know that he's God. And then there are people like the devotees of Vrindavan who have, how to say, have this relationship with Krishna that they don't know that he's God, but that he's much more actually. So either someone is in Mahamaya, meaning in the material illusion, or someone is in Yogamaya, in the spiritual illusion, or someone is not in Maya and he sees that Krishna is God. It's very interesting. Yeah. So and Garga Muni is one of these who is not in Maya, in any of these Mayas. He knows, then it's obvious. For them it's obvious. Yeah, it's amazing. Like Arjuna, he doesn't know, but suddenly Krishna shows the universal form. He's like shocked. My Krishna, what are you doing? It's very amazing.
Krishna hat doch Yashoda auch das Universum zeigt, oder?
Ja. Ja.
Yeah,
they know it. This is interesting. Krishna does these things very often, and the devotees in this situation are really bewildered because they understand that he is actually God or something. But then their main feeling, their ras, overcomes this realization. They kind of forget it. They put it in the back. Like here also, they are amazed. How could this small Krishna, this boy, kill this demon? Maybe he was protected by Hari. Maybe he is Hari himself. Who knows, but somehow they look at him and suddenly their feeling, their love is awakened. It's so strong that they don't remember this. It's suddenly not so interesting anymore. This is the point. This is our argument for that this relationship is higher because the devotees have like both there, right? They have both there. Krishna is the Lord. He kills all the demons. He shows the universal form. He does all these things. Or he is my friend. And suddenly they choose always this one. So meaning this is better. If this wouldn't be better, they wouldn't choose it. That means it can be only material illusion to think Krishna is your friend. Oh, I must be spirit. You must be a higher experience. You have it obviously. You have Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but you choose not to go into this understanding. Even this would be like most amazing that God is your friend. You can walk with him hand in hand. And you can understand this is God, this is God. How wonderful. But they don't want this because the relationship of, oh, it's just my friend, is much more pleasurable.
Oh. Is it a question of choice or is it a question of Krishna puts, is it a question of Krishna's choice because he want this relationship with Mother Yashoda, he don't want that she knows that he is God because he enjoys to be punished by her and...
Yeah, I cannot answer this. How can I know this? But I can only say it's from both sides because from one point of view, every devotee has his svarup, his own relationship to Krishna. So naturally tends to go into this. So Mother Yashoda is naturally the mother of Krishna. So she might have sometimes this little experience with Krishna. Why is Krishna showing it anyways? It's also interesting. Why is he showing the universal form in his mouth when he ate dirt? But I think it's also for us maybe that he uses them to show from time to time again this his Aishwarya feature.
Another question come to my mind. We hear always from Srila Prabhupada, he said that we should follow in the footsteps of one great devotee, one of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So, but how this looks like, should I go and choose one of them?
No, as far as I understand that Prabhupada and our understanding of this is, of course, Rupa Goswami explains this in the Nectar of Devotion. This we should do, we have to. And as far as I can understand, this will develop naturally through the purification. The more we become purified, we naturally, because our relationship with Krishna gets more and more awakened, we tend towards some certain relationship with Krishna, and then one of these personalities who has this relationship already becomes predominant, and we feel very much attracted also to this person because we're inspired by this person's service and we want to do the same. And this is then the following, and then we are guided also by this person. But this comes naturally, it's not a question of speculation in our conditioned situation, but the more we advance, it becomes more or less obvious and revealed, and there's no doubt about it. Okay? Everything clear? It's a very interesting topic. Nice that we can discuss this. Thank you very much. Grantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Ayo.